The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, there's so much messaging around exercise now. We need to get our 10,000 steps a day. We need to train 5 days a week. We need to make sure we eat huge amounts of protein every day. And some say we should be fasting on top of all that as well. So cutting out the noise and understanding what's good for us is what we want to talk about now. I'm joined by physiotherapist Larry O'Mahony. Hello, Larry. How are you?
Hi, Claire. Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to have you with us. There's new research from the American College of Sports Medicine, which might be good news on all of this. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic news. Certainly cutting through all the noise that's online at the moment. So this position or this paper was released after 17 years and it's giving us an update and simplifying matters, which is really important. And so the big take homes from it are, first of all, for people who aren't doing any resistance training, just start because it will make a big difference to your health. Secondly, even just twice a week of resistance training is enough to see meaningful health benefits. Thirdly, doesn't need to be in a gym. This is a big one. Resistance bands, body weight, home exercise programs, all of these can help you build strength. Now, really important, do something that you like doing, okay? Because if you like doing it, you're far more likely to keep doing it. So if it's a circuit class, if it's reformer Pilates, if it's a gym class, just
you have to enjoy it because you just won't. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious really, isn't it? But we all ignore this. If you don't like it, you're not going to stay doing it because isn't consistency the key?
Consistency is the key. But if you go online, there is so much mixed messaging around time under tension, train to failure. You know, you need to exercise in the morning, not in the evening. And it is just really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just really taking it back to basics and saying, as long as you're putting a little bit of load through your muscles, even just twice a week, using all major muscle groups, and there's four really simple exercises for that that you can do at home, that's enough to see meaningful health change.
That's good news. And what about the diet then? Because you do your training and then you're supposed to eat. Sometimes it feels like 10 chicken fillets afterwards to get enough protein.
I know it is overwhelming. I think I've seen online, you know, different kind of memes around there's more pressure now in our 40s to be eating protein than there was to be doing kind of, you know, naughty activities in our 20s. And I think it is, yeah, definitely really challenging. But once again, when it comes to protein, the big confusion is like the recommended daily allowance is 0.8 grams per kilogram. But actually, that's just for basic, you know, kind of
per kilogram of your body
of
weight.
Your body weight. So that's how you calculate it. But actually, you know, if you're doing any sort of exercise, you want 1.2 to 1.6 grams of protein per kilogram of your body weight. Now, I had been seeing up to 2.2 grams in certain papers and online, and like that is really hard to hit. But actually, most of the evidence is saying 1.6 grams per kilogram is enough. And after that, you're not seeing, you know, that kind of turning into any other significant benefits for your body or building muscle.
So what does that look like in terms of what you're eating? Is that a lot? Do you have to think about it?
Well, ideally, you try and space it out. So you're doing, first of all, I'm not a dietitian or a nutritionist, but also for building muscle, if you're not, you can do all the resistance training in the world, but if you're not eating enough protein, your body can't create muscle. It can't repair your muscle. So you're not going to see the benefit that you should be seeing from all your training. And if we think of like 1.6 grams per kilogram, like a large chicken fillet is around 35 grams of protein. Okay. And so, you know, for a lot of people, they might want to be hitting, you know, anywhere from 90 to 120 or 150 grams of. So I suppose if you're like a 60 kilo person, that's probably around 90 grams of protein.
Right. So if you think one chicken fillet is 35, you can work it out from there, the Greek yogurt and the fish and so on. Now, I have some physio questions for you coming in from our listeners. I'm a runner, says this listener, and I'm wondering, is it better to use ice or heat for muscle pain?
Okay, so that's a great question. And first of all, I would be curious as to why are they getting the pain? Now, when it comes to heat and ice was always traditionally used for acute injuries, but actually emerging research is saying that maybe we need to let the body's own natural anti-inflammatory or inflammation process take place in the first couple of days. Ice is good as an analgesic, but really not for more than 10 minutes. So if it's, you know, you come back from a run or in general, you're feeling some pain, sometimes people will feel that heat can be good for like, you know, muscle tightness or stiffness. But in general, I'd be curious as to why they're getting the pain. If it's happening all the time, it can be better to get to the root of it as opposed to maybe just putting the band-aid of the heat and the ice on all the time.
This is a question that I could have asked you myself about cracking of knuckles and pulling of fingers, which happens a lot in my house. It's a thing that they do. I can't even listen to it. But this listener says that their son is constantly cracking his neck and his knuckles. And they want to know, is it bad for him? They continuously scold him for it. He's 14.
I meet so many moms and dads with the same question. Yeah, and they're always looking at me, giving me the look as if to say, please back me up. Sadly, there isn't any evidence to show that cracking your knuckles leads to osteoarthritis or any changes in the joints. What actually happens is, so the joint itself has liquid inside in it, and when you separate the two bones away from each other, a little bubble of gas pops out. So I'm sorry, Claire. But just make sure he doesn't listen to this. But people can feel like a little bit of momentary release because of that change in pressure.
Yeah.
But so there isn't anything negative happening. There isn't anything like, you know, like massively altering happening. Mm-hmm. That change in pressure can feel nice to some people. And then it takes between 15 and 30 minutes for it to build up again before they can do it again.
Right. Can we tell them it's bad for them,
though?
You can. They might be listening. It's the Easter holidays. They'll be listening. Yeah. This listener, I'm in my late 40s. I'm starting to think about how my age will impact my physical health. Do we lose flexibility as we age, and how can I prevent that?
So flexibility is more youth dependent than age dependent. And as we get older, we generally tend to move less. Maybe we sit down a little bit more. So that is why people will become less flexible as they get older. So you can absolutely prevent that from happening. And you would do that by making sure you're using all your joints through all available range. If you want to, let's say, also look at doing Tai Chi, Pilates, yoga, other ways that you can build your flexibility. Even doing a stretching program at home is a good way to start, or doing strength exercises where you're going the whole way through range.
Larry, thank you so much for coming in. Larry O'Mahony there, who is a physiotherapist. We're going to take
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.